One players in the world premiere broadcast of A Seat by the Window, written by Racine playwright Barbara Tyla, who is a founding member of the 91.1 Players. Barb is also today's director. As always, generous support comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah Dumay Dunn and McTernan, and also the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin. Before we begin this morning's live broadcast of A Seat by the Window, I'm very pleased to welcome Barb Tyla into our studios for a brief conversation. Actually, Barb is in the WGTD Public Radio Studios in Kenosha, and I'm in the studios of KEDT Public Radio, located in Corpus Christi, Texas. And we wish to thank them for their generous use of their studios. And I'm very pleased to welcome Barbara Tyla into our studios. And I should say that, as I mentioned, Barbara's in the studios in Kenosha at WGTD, and I'm here in the KEDT Public Radio Studios down here in Corpus Christi. Barb, this play of yours that we are going to be hearing, A Seat by the Window, how did you come up with the idea for the play?
Well, I tell you, this era, the 1950s, has always both interested me and disturbed me. And, well, it was my era. I mean, I grew up in it. But I never knew about segregation until, actually, I was about 18, and I moved away from home and moved to Milwaukee. Until then, I lived in an all-white neighborhood, you know, and had all, my friends were all white. There was one little girl in a class one of my girlfriends took, and she was black, but she was the only one in the whole school. So I never knew any other children who were black. And then when I moved to Milwaukee, then I met many, many friends in school who were black, and they told me stories, and I filed them away, you know, like the way you do, like most writers do. They file them away for future use. And I took one little incident and made it into a play, A Seat by the Window.
The setting for the play is the Early Bird Cafe, and this takes place in Deepwater, Missouri. Now, as a writer like yourself, you know, we come up with these ideas of where a play is going to be situated and the characters. Describe for us, maybe if you could paint a picture, if you will, a picture in the mind of the Early Bird Cafe. What does it feel like if you were just to walk right in to the Early Bird Cafe right now?
Well, it's a small cafe. There's a counter to the rear, and with stools, people can sit in and have a cup of coffee or a piece of pie. There are booths around the sides of the diner, and there's a window right in the, I mean, the window seat, and this is the seat where, of course, the action takes place. The kitchen is to the left. Actually, it's opposite the front door, and that's where Billy and Grace do their work. They're cooking and washing the dishes and keeping the place clean. And off of the kitchen is a little room where they do their lunchroom music. When everybody goes home and they turn off the stove and everything's quiet, and then Grace sings. It's a quiet little place. Anybody can come in, sit there all afternoon if they want to, have a cup of coffee, read the paper, read a book. It's a very homey little place.
As you were writing this, what kinds of experiences did you draw on in terms of the characters? And I'm thinking in particular Edward Clausen, who's the owner of the cafe, and then in particular Billy Horn, who's the African-American man who is the cook in the kitchen.
Well, actually, Billy is Grace's brother. And originally this play, it was at first a short story, and it took place in Missouri. And I picked Missouri. Well, my brother-in-law lives in Missouri, and so I've been down there, and I kind of know a little bit about the countryside, you know. And Billy and Grace were their siblings. And actually, in the story, there were two brothers and a sister. But when I turned it into a play and I was going to submit it for a competition, I decided I better cut out one of the brothers. I wasn't sure about casting, about whether or not they could find two black actors and a black actress, you know, in Richmond, Virginia. So, but I just thought of the idea. This was years ago, and it takes a while. Sometimes I'll think of something, and it'll fester a while, and takes a while till it finally blooms, and I can actually write it down. I took notes and for months, you know. But Edward Clausen, I figured, was a transplant. He came from Wisconsin or Chicago. He came from the north, and he came down south, married a girl, and started this restaurant. And that's why I don't have him. He doesn't have much of an accent. He's got a little bit of a lilt because he's been there for a few years, but not much. And one of the actors in the play asked me last week about the accents, and I said Missouri's a funny state. Depending on where you live, you may or may not have a drawl. And I've known some people. My brother-in-law's friends, a couple of them have very, very broad drawls, and then others have none at all. So with the cast, I tried to vary it a little bit. Some of them have an accent, and some of them don't. But the people were all people that I just dreamed up in my leisure hours when I'm just laying in bed in the morning. I'll think of something, and then I have to run up and quick write it down fast.
So why should I feel discouraged? Or why should the shadows come? Why should my heart...
As we listen now to a little bit of Ethel Waters and her beautiful song, His Eye on the Sparrow, and I'm going to fade it down. Why did you want that particular song in this play?
Well, I tell you, I did a play years and years ago with Ethel Waters in Milwaukee, and it was called Member of the Wedding. It was the Carson McCullers play. And this song she sang during the play, and it made such an impression on me. She was absolutely, well, she was wonderful. She was a wonderful actress, but a wonderful person, too. And I felt that this song should belong in the play.
He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow.
Ethel Waters, I don't know if I told you this or not, but she was my first, I was going to say, it was a terrible impression I got of Milwaukee itself about segregation. When she came to the city to do the play, we brought her to a hotel, and I'm not going to say the name of the hotel, even though it's been years and years ago, I won't say the name. But they got to the front desk, and the desk clerk told her, "We don't take colored people in here." And the management, well, actually, our welcoming committees, they were ashamed and shocked and angry. And they were going to protest, but Miss Waters said, no, no, no. I don't go anywhere. I'm not wanted. Just find me another hotel. So they did, and it was a nice hotel, and she did fine. The run was great and everything. But a few days into rehearsal, some of the younger members of the cast, we decided we were going to pick at that hotel. And we didn't know when, because we were in rehearsal, but we were going to do it. And then Miss Waters took us aside one afternoon after rehearsal, and she said, I'm grateful for your caring, but don't do it. It's bad publicity for your theater, and I don't want the publicity for myself. She said, the Lord keeps track of all this cussedness. He'll see that everything evens out in the end. And what she said stayed with me for so many years. Well, actually, all my life. She was a very loving woman, patient, kind, and had tremendous faith. So this song just really her song, and that's why I wanted it.
Barbara Tyla, I'm going to give you the honor of introducing your play to our listening audience.
For our audience at home and our studio audience here, the 91.1 Players are proud to present A Seat by the Window. We're at the Early Bird Cafe in Deepwater, Missouri. Just a typical diner, but good food all the same. Over there is the kitchen. But what else would it be with a stove and a sink and a cutting table? In the 50s, the kitchen was run by Billy Horn and his sister Grace. Of course, being black, the kitchen was the only place they were allowed to work. Things sure are different back then. Back there is the dining room. Of course, the tables that are scattered around might give that away. And here is the counter. Every diner needs that, right? And that man over there is Edward, the owner, sitting at the counter, reading his newspaper.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you. I hope you're not all here for the special. Tonight it's shrimp gumbo. It's a big favorite with the locals. Of course, we also have our famous chicken fried steak. That was big when my daddy, that would be Emil Clausen, owned the restaurant. Well, excuse me. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Edward Clausen, and I own the Early Bird Cafe. I took it over when my daddy passed in 1976. Don't know what'll happen to it when I go to my life's reward. My wife and I had two boys, and neither of them were interested in food. Well, except for the eating of it, of course. They're both up in college up north. Their dreams are going to take them far away from Deerwater. Now me, my dreams are always in the kitchen. Lucky, I guess, because I didn't have to buck my daddy back in 1955 when I was 14, and he decided it was time for me to learn the business. Well, used to be called Eddie back then.
Some people say a man...
Well, here it is, son. The Early Bird Cafe. This will be yours someday. Now, of course, it isn't as if you've never seen it before. But coming here as a diner is different than coming here as its owner.
Yes, Papa.
Your mother thinks you should have another summer at home. She thinks I'm pushing the business on you too soon. But I told her it's never too early to learn the value of a dollar or the integrity of hard work. Am I wrong?
No, Papa. I'm ready. I want to work. I want to work with you.
Well, that's fine. That's what I wanted to hear. Now, I thought I'd start you out in the kitchen. It won't be easy, but I think you can handle it. Billy? Grace?
Yes, sir, Miss Clausen?
Will you and Grace come out here? There's someone I want you to meet. Son, the kitchen is the most important part of a restaurant because that's where you'll find its soul. You learn about the early bird's soul this summer, and we'll see about moving you out front in the fall.
Yes, sir, Miss Clausen, you wanted to see us?
Yes, I did. I'm bringing you some help. This is my son, Edward. Edward, this is Billy Horn and his sister, Grace. They run the kitchen for me.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Edward. Your daddy talk a lot about you. Don't worry, it's all good.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
I told Edward that if he's going to own this place someday, he'll have to learn all the ins and outs of it. So I thought I'd start him out here with you folks. Now, I don't expect you to give away your secret recipes.
Just give him some idea how things work back there. So you don't want me teaching him how to make chicken fried steak right off?
No, I'd rather not have him around the stove, at least not at first. I was thinking more about the basics, you know, sweeping, cleaning, dishwashing, that sort of thing. Dishwashing, I expect your sister could use some help with the dishes. How about it, Grace?
If you say so, Mr. Clausen.
Gracie can always use some help with dishes. She was saying only last week she wished she had a good dryer, especially on Saturday nights.
I never said...
Why, sure you did, Gracie. Remember? We had that wedding party, all that glassware.
I said I wish there was a way we could do the dishes faster. I never said...
Well, it looks like your prayers have been answered, Grace. Edward is a mighty good dryer. He helps his mama all the time at home.
Well, now, isn't that nice? I guess we can find plenty to keep him busy, Mr. Clausen.
I expect you will, Billy. And I don't want you to coddle him just because he's my son. You treat him like you would any help. And if he doesn't measure up, you let me know.
I will, Mr. Clausen. But I don't expect to have to do that. Mr. Eddie looks like he'd be a fine worker.
I'm going to leave you here with the Horns while they get ready for the dinner time crowd. You do as Billy says now, you hear?
Yes, Papa, I will.
Now, you do me proud, boy. I'm counting on you.
The truth was, I was glad I was starting in the kitchen. I was a shy kid, and I didn't deal well with adults, so the kitchen suited me fine. I wouldn't have to make small talk with the customers or work the cash register and count out the change. Of course, I had to prove myself with the Horns. Billy seemed nice enough. I wasn't sure about Grace, though. At least not at first.
No, don't put the dishes there. They'll get flour all over them. Put them on the shelf and dry that glass again. It's got streaks.
It doesn't have streaks. I dried it twice already.
What do you call that?
It was fine when I set it down. You messed it up when you touched it.
I didn't touch it. I looked at it. It's got streaks. Look, Billy, does this glass have streaks on it or not?
Hold on. Leave me out of this. I'm not getting in the middle of a dish fight. You might be a little easier on the boy, Gracie. It's his first week, after all, and it's not like he's after your job. Come fall, he'll be back in school again and out of your hair.
Well, we'll see where he is come fall. How come your daddy put you in the kitchen now? He must not like it you very much.
Yeah? How do you figure that?
Because in August, it's hotter than Hades back here. Even the devil will tell you that it's too hot.
Well, I can handle hot. I like it hot. I do my best work in the heat.
You don't know the meaning of hot until you're here in August when Billy's cooking sweet potato fries.
That's right. Mr. Eddie, we got fans, but that don't cut the heat of this oven.
So?
So what?
So how come your daddy picked summertime to put you back here?
I don't know. He said I needed to learn the value of a dollar.
That's funny. Do you see any dollars floating in this dishwater? You should be out front. That's where the cash register is.
Maybe I don't care where the cash register is. Maybe I'd rather be in the kitchen.
Then you and your daddy are both nuts. As soon as I get enough money, I'll be out of this kitchen for good. I don't ever want to see a kitchen again.
Careful, Gracie.
What? I'm not saying anything I shouldn't. Mr. Clausen knows I'm not staying here forever. He knows I've got plans.
You do? What sort of plans?
No, Billy's right. Sometimes I talk too much. Forget it.
Okay.
My sister sings, Mr. Eddie. She sings real good. She wanted to go to New Orleans someday to sing. That's where all the good musicians go. That's where Bessie Smith got her start and Louis Armstrong. Old Satchmo himself.
What? That's fine, Grace. Just fine. What kind of songs do you sing?
Gospel, some jazz, a little blues. I sing what makes me feel good.
Will you sing for me someday?
Maybe. Someday. About what I said before, about your daddy not liking you, I didn't mean it. He talks about you all the time. I know he likes you fine.
Yeah? Well, I'll tell you what I feel about him. Come August.
My daddy told me I was supposed to learn about the early bird's soul. But I learned a lot more that summer. I learned how to make egg noodles and chicken fried steak, and how to balance 4 plates on my arm. Now that's a feat, let me tell you. But the horns also taught me something else. They taught me how to dream.
Mr. Eddie, if you sweep the floor any harder, you're going to wear out the bristles on the broom.
Grace told me to sweep up that flour I spilled this morning.
Well, you can sweep all you want, but sooner or later, you're going to have to get a mop and some water.
She didn't tell me that.
I expect she thought you'd figure that out.
Yeah, maybe. Whew, sure is hot.
That it is, Mr. Eddie, that it is. Why don't you put up that broom and go home with your daddy for the shutdown? Get yourself a lemonade and sit in front of the fan.
No, that's okay. I'd rather finish up here first.
Yeah, suit yourself. Never let it be said that I kept a man from his work.
Do you and Grace go home for the shutdown?
No. We don't have a car, and it takes too long on the bus. Your daddy fixed up room and back with cots and a fan, so we can rest if we want to. It's real nice.
So, when the early bird closes in the afternoon, you and Grace just stay here and rest?
Yeah, sometimes we do.
What about the other times?
For a boy who says he loves the work, you sure waste a lot of time asking questions.
I'm sorry. I was thinking that maybe I wouldn't go home for the shutdown. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'd rather hang out with you and Grace.
Now, why would you want to do a thing like that?
Because if I go home, my mama will make me rest, and I'm too big for that. I'm too old to be taking afternoon naps.
So why don't you tell your mama that? You're a working man now. Tell her.
Gosh, Billy, I couldn't do that.
Why not?
Because she's my mama. My father says she worries over me because I was sick a lot when I was little.
And she hasn't figured out that you're not that sick little baby anymore?
I guess so. Daddy says she should have had more chicks in her nest to fuss over instead of just one little hatched egg. Maybe then she wouldn't worry so much. I don't know.
Mr. Eddie, how do you feel about jam?
Jam? I like it okay, I guess. Mostly on toast, sometimes pancakes.
Yeah, well, I wasn't talking about that kind of jam.
You weren't?
No, I wasn't talking about the preserves. You put in the jars, I was talking about something different.
Oh? Can you buy it at the grocer's?
No. You won't find this jam in any food market. But if you stay with us for the shutdown, Gracie and I will show you how to mix up a batch.
Now, I'd heard about jazz and blues, and I'd heard gospel sung in church, but I was not prepared for the music the horns played that day.
Now, Mr. Eddie, for this recipe, Grace will take some notes, and when she finds the right ones and puts them in order, I'll add some harmony to smooth them out. Your job is to furnish the beat.
Beat? I thought we were making jam.
We are. We're making the kind that sticks to your soul and don't mess up your fingers. Hand him those spoons, Grace, and show him how we mix the sugar.
See? You hold these spoons with the bowls facing out, so only the backs are touching.
Like this?
That's right. Now put your left hand over the right and hit the spoons on your knees. You get a double beat that way.
That doesn't sound so hard.
You're holding them too tight. Billy, you show them.
You start out nice and easy. Make the spoons part of your hands. Keep your wrists loose so they don't cramp up. Here. Now you try it.
Okay, I think I got it. Shoot, that's hard. I'll never get it.
Yes, you will. You don't have to do a solo. Remember, We're just the sugar. Gracie is the jam.
So why should I feel discouraged?
We started out slow and easy, and I kept up pretty well at first, but after a few bars, I gave up. The first song was a gospel piece. It started out that way, and then it turned into something else. Grace was only 15, but her voice was a woman's voice, full and rich and pure, and when she finished, my bones were humming.
What happened back there? You were following okay, and then I looked over and whoop, you were still standing in the station.
I'm sorry, I couldn't keep up. I guess I got lost.
That's what I figured. But you did pretty good for your first time out, didn't he, Gracie?
He did okay. Why are you looking at me that way?
Sorry, I didn't mean to. It's just that...
Don't you know it's rude to stare? Boy, it sure is hot for June. I'm gonna go get some air in the alley.
My sister loves to sing, but she don't know how to handle people liking it. I expect she'll get over that.
She's wonderful.
That she is. She got the gift, all right.
I've got only one question. What's she doing here? What's she doing at the Early Bird washing dishes? She should be on the radio or TV, maybe even the movies.
Well, everybody's got to start somewhere. Didn't your daddy tell you that? The Early Bird's fine for her right now. Can you keep a secret, Miss Daddy?
Gosh, Billy, I don't know. I think so. Sure.
Every week, I take a little something from my paycheck and put it in this coffee tin. Sometimes it's not more than 50 cents, but I put it in anyway. When I get enough saved, I'm giving it to Gracie, along with a bus ticket south.
Why don't you put it in the bank? Wouldn't it be safer?
Too many fingers in a bank. I trust the coffee tin more.
What do you trust a coffee can with?
Oh, why, nothing, sister. Just to keep the coffee fresh. What else? Why don't you put this back, Mr. Eddie? I don't think we'll be making much coffee today.
For the rest of the month, I spent the shutdowns with the horns. I learned to play the spoons. And Billy even taught me a couple of tunes on the harmonica. My daddy didn't object at first, but as our relationship grew, he got a little concerned.
Sorry to make you wait, son. Accountants are coming in on Monday. I wanted to get the books in order.
That's okay. So, what do you want to talk to me about? Is this about the place we broke this morning? Don't blame Billy or Grace. It was my fault. I was just fooling around.
No, this isn't about the place.
Good, because, well, you can take the cost out of my pay if you want.
But thank you, Edward, but I don't think that will be necessary.
Oh, okay. Do you suppose this could wait until we get home, then? Grace kind of needs me back there. We're really swamped with dishes.
Oh, for God's sake, Edward. Forget the dishes. Dishes aren't the least of my worries.
Oh, sorry.
Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way because I like the horns. I like them a lot. When I told you I wanted you to learn about the early bird soul, I was talking about the horns. Billy's cooking is one of the reasons this place is a success. No, it's just that I'm a little concerned about your friendship with him.
Why? What's wrong with it? They're good people, aren't they?
Well, the best. It's not their character I'm worried about.
Then what is it?
Look at it this way, son. The early bird is a business. It's my business now, but it will be yours someday, and when you'll be the owner. Now, it's okay to be friendly with co-workers, but the horns won't be your co-workers forever. Someday, you'll be their boss, and you can't be a boss and a friend. So, when you move into the dining room in September, the friendship has to end.
But why? Moving out front doesn't make me the boss.
No, but you be the boss's son.
I'm the boss's son now in the kitchen.
That's not the point. The point is no one can see you in the kitchen. But when you move out into the dining room, all that changes.
Then maybe I won't move out front. Maybe I'll just stay in the kitchen.
I can't let you do that, Edward. Now, I told you before, I like the horns. But the fact is they're black, and they move in a different world than we do. And right now, you can't afford to be in it.
You mean you can't afford it?
Bluntly put, but true. I wish things were different, but they aren't. Now, so, this is what's going to happen. You can finish out the summer in the kitchen. In the fall, however, after school starts, you'll only work weekends, and when I move you out front, this friendship will be left behind. Do you understand? I said, do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Good.
I understand.
Good. I'm glad we got that settled. Now, I left my keys in the office. I'll get them, and then we'll go home.
The August heat came early. It came in July. But the weather helped. It was easier to tell Grace that the heat was the reason I wasn't staying for the shutdowns. She accepted my excuse, though I wasn't really sure she believed me. And then, one day, the weather changed. When I woke up that morning, I could feel the difference. The air was light and clean, and my body didn't seem weighted to the earth. I felt as if all I had to do was raise my arms, and I'd float right up to heaven. That afternoon, when Billy asked me if I wanted to join them for the shutdown, I said yes. It was our last session, though we didn't know it then. We only knew it was our best. Grace sang, and Billy and I dueled with the spoons until our legs were bruised and aching.
You better tell your daddy get you a set of drums. You've gone beyond the spoons playing. You need something else besides the hitting yourself.
I'll ask, but I'm pretty sure drums are not my daddy's gift list for me. Whew! I worked up a sweat. I need something cold to drink. Say, I've got an idea. Let's have a party. An ice cream party. In fact, let's have a party right in the dining room. How about it? I know the owner. I'll get us a table right by the window.
Well, the ice cream sounds nice, Mr. Eddie, but the kitchen's good enough for a party.
No, it's too hot back here. The dining room has ceiling fans. Come on, who's gonna know? Who's gonna care? Everyone's gone home.
Your daddy would care, and he's our boss. Thank you for the offer, Mr. Eddie, but this horn will eat his ice cream in the kitchen.
What about you, Grace? Do you want to eat your ice cream here or in the dining room?
Careful, Gracie. Remember where you are. Remember who you are.
I know who I am, Billy. Who are you? I'd like to have my ice cream in the dining room, please.
Great. That's great. Take my arm and allow me to show you to your table.
It was my moment in the sun. I was King Arthur, Superman, and the Green Hornet all rolled into one. There was nothing I couldn't do. I led Grace to the table like a knight leads his lady to the ballroom floor.
We have chocolate, vanilla, butter pecan, and strawberry ice cream. We also have an assortment of toppings, including whipped cream, nuts, and maraschino cherries.
Let me see. I think I have the butter pecan with whipped cream. Is the whipped cream fresh?
The freshest. I milked the cow this morning.
Come on, Alice. Stop dawdling. Why are you so slow?
I'm tired, Mama. Can we stop now? Can we go home?
How can you be tired? You're the strangest child I know. Usually little girls love to go shopping.
I like to go shopping, Mama, but not for school clothes. They're boring. Why can't I just wear the clothes I had last year?
Because you've grown this summer and everything's too short. Your skirts are all above your knees.
I like that plaid jumper at Lorman's. What's wrong with that?
Oh, Allie, the material was so thin you could see right through it. We'll try Christie's next. They have a sale going on.
Oh, jeez.
What? What did you say? Did you say a swear word, Allie?
No. I said gee. Sure, we can go to Christie's. Only, could we get something to eat first? Ice cream, maybe? Or a piece of pie?
Pie? It's almost 4:00. You'll spoil your dinner.
No, I won't. I'll eat everything on my plate. Honest, and I won't complain, even if we have Brussels sprouts.
I'll believe that when I see it.
I will, Mama, I promise.
Well, all right. Where do you want to go for pie?
How about the early bird?
The early bird isn't open in the afternoon. You know that.
Yes, they are, Mama. They're open today. Look, there are people sitting in the window.
Let me take a look. Well, for goodness sake, I don't believe it.
The Sundays look wonderful.
They are wonderful.
You're not very humble.
Humility is for losers. Today, I'm king of the world, and I can do anything.
Well, Mr. King, you made a mighty good Sunday, but what are we going to eat it with?
What do you mean? All you need with a Sunday is... Gosh, I forgot the spoons!
If the early bird is open, can we get pie, Mama?
The early bird isn't open, Ellie. Trust me.
But the clothesline isn't out.
That doesn't mean anything. Take my word.
When I'm the boss, we'll have jam sessions with the customers and everyone will learn to play the spoons.
If everyone is playing the spoons, what are they going to eat with?
Their fingers, of course. What else? When I'm the boss, ice cream will be the main course and we'll have shrimp gumbo for dessert. When I'm the boss...
Good afternoon, Edward.
Hi, Mrs. Buckley.
I see you're open for business now, in the afternoon.
Well, no, not exactly. Not for business.
You aren't? Oh, I'm sorry. So, this is a private party then?
The children are having ice cream, Mrs. Buckley, to cool off.
I see. And when did Mr. Clausen give permission for the help to cool off in the dining room?
He didn't, Mrs. Buckley. Come on, Grace. Take your ice cream to the kitchen.
No, Grace. You don't have to go. I invited you here. Don't let Mrs. Buckley scare you off.
That's okay. I was almost finished anyway.
No, you weren't. You hardly ate anything.
Does your father know what's going on here, Edward? Where is your father anyway?
He's gone home for the shutdown. And there's nothing going on. We're having ice cream.
Well, tell your father I was here, Edward. No. On second thought, I'll tell him myself. And the next time you decide to entertain your friends, make sure the door is locked.
I'll do that, Miss Buckley. Next time I'll make sure the door is locked.
I thought we were going to get pie.
We are. We're going to Hennessy's.
But I don't like their pie.
Don't give me any trouble now, Ellie. I'm warning you.
Oh, Mr. Eddie, what do we do?
You didn't do anything. And anyway, it's only Mrs. Buckley. She's a busybody, sure, but my daddy never listens to her.
Oh, Mr. Eddie, you don't know anything about busybodies. Somebody always listens.
That was the last time I saw the horns. Grace was right about Mrs. Buckley. She found a willing ear in my father. I never saw him so angry. I knew he'd punish me, but I never thought he'd punish Billy and Grace. I sure didn't figure that they'd get fired.
What were you thinking, boy? What on earth were you thinking to bring Grace into the dining room and in front of the window, no less? Grace knows better, and so does Billy. I'm surprised he let her go in there.
Don't blame Billy, Papa. It wasn't his fault. He didn't even come into the dining room. He ate his ice cream in the kitchen.
He didn't stop you, did he?
He tried, but I wouldn't listen. And Grace only came because I asked her to. You didn't have to let them go. It isn't fair.
Damn it, Edward. I can't afford to be fair. I told you before I run a business, and it depends on the public for survival. If my customers think that I'm incompetent, that I can't control my workers, or even my own son... then I not only lose their respect, but their patronage. I'm sorry the horns had to bear the brunt of your foolishness, but I had...
What about the coffee tin money? Did Billy get his coffee tin money?
I don't know what you're talking about. I paid the horns their wages and they left. I paid them for the whole week, generous enough, considering it's only Tuesday. What is this coffee tin money?
Nothing. It doesn't matter now. It's too late anyway.
I'm sorry, son. I know you like the horns, but someday perhaps you'll understand my position.
It was only a dish of ice cream, Papa.
No, Edward, I wish it was that simple. I wished it was that simple.
My father found another cook. Not as good as Billy, perhaps, but good enough, and the early bird kept going. I never saw Grace again, but I did keep track of her. I bought her first record, and I cut clippings from the papers about her concerts. I even went to one of them. I sat up in the balcony, so she never saw me. My wife told me I should have gone backstage. I wanted to, but in the end, I didn't. I was afraid. I didn't know what to say to her. And now it's too late to say anything. You see, Grace died last Sunday. The paper says she suffered a heart attack in St. Louis and died backstage after a concert. The audience never knew what happened till they heard it on the news. Isn't that just like Grace? People had paid to hear her sing, so she made sure she gave them their money's worth. The funeral's today, here in Deepwater. I toyed with the idea of going until I found out the service was just for the family. I figured that left me out. And then, this morning, I got a phone call. Good morning, Early Bird Cafe, Ed speaking.
Hello, is that you, Mr. Eddie?
Yes, and who's this?
Now, who in this world calls you Mr. Eddie these days?
I don't believe it. Billy, is that you, Billy Horn?
One and the same. Has my voice changed that much?
No, but it's been a long time.
40 years.
How are you?
Pretty good, I guess, considering.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Billy. So sorry about Grace.
Well, it wasn't a complete surprise. Not for us, anyway. She was having problems. Doctor told her she should slow down, but you know Grace. Slowing down was not an option.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, we got your flowers. They're real pretty. The note was nice, too. Mama appreciated it. Thank you.
I wish I could have done more.
Well, maybe you can. You could come to the funeral. I think Grace would like that.
I thought the service was just for the family.
Oh, it is. And for close friends.
Oh, Billy.
It's been 40 years since all that foolishness. Don't you think it's time we put it to rest? You were a boy, and you didn't mean any harm.
No, of course not. But my father...
Your father was a man of his times. He did what he had to do at the time. But the world is changing, Mr. Eddie. You can feel it and feel it. We still have a ways to go, but sooner or later we'll get there. So will you come?
Oh, Billy, of course I'll come. But... only on one condition.
Oh, what's that?
The condition that you stop calling me Mr. Eddie. My name's Ed, Edward, or even Eddie if you like. But there hasn't been a Mr. in front of it since you and Gracie left. Is it a deal?
It's a deal. Eddie.
Good. That's better.
It'll take some getting used to.
Well, that's okay. I'll remind you.
Then see you at the church.
At the church.
10 o'clock. Oh, before I forget, bring a set of spoons when you come.
Spoons? Are you asking the guests to bring their own silverware?
No, just you and me. Mom was having lunch at the house after the service, and you can be sure she'll want to have music. I'm thinking you and I could have a duel with the spoons.
So, that's that. I guess I'll get to say goodbye after all. Yeah. I'm a little rusty, but I don't think Grace will mind. I don't think she'll mind at all.
This has been the world premiere broadcast of A Seat by the Window, written by Racine playwright Barbara Tyler. The stars, as always, on the WGTD Radio Theater are from the award-winning 91.1 Players. Starring today were Terry Myers as the narrator, Todd Eaves as Edward, Arthur Dexter as Emil, John Oleksii as Billy, Addison Adams as Grace, Brett Hudek as Eddie, Terry Tyler as Mrs. Buckley, and Mia Becker was Allie Buckley. The director and live sound effects creator for today's original production was playwright Barb Tyler. Music and recorded sound editing was created by Steve Brown. The co-executive producers of the WGTD Radio Theater are Michael Ostrup and Steve Brown. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah Dumay Dunn and McTernan and also the Brown Ostrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem, Wisconsin. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 Players, I'm your host, Steve Brown, inviting you to join us for our next live broadcast on Saturday morning, April 18th.
You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine,